Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to NATCO Pharma Limited Q3 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Nuvama Wealth. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kunal Randeria from Nuvama Wealth. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Vivian, and good morning, everyone. On behalf of Nuvama Institutional Securities, I welcome you all for NATCO Pharma's Q3 FY23 earnings call. With us today, we have NATCO Pharma senior management team represented by Mr. Rajeev Nannapaneni, Director and Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Rajesh Chebiyam, Executive Vice President, Crop Health Sciences. Over to you, Rajesh, for opening remarks.
Thank you, Kunal. Good morning and welcome everyone to NATCO's conference call discussing our earning results for the third quarter of FY23. During this call, we may be making certain forward-looking statements or statements about future events, and anything said on this call which reflects our outlook for the future must be reviewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. I would like to state that the material of the call, except for the participant questions, property of NATCO, cannot be recorded or broadcast without NATCO's express written permission. We'll begin with the results highlights and followed by an interactive Q&A session. So again, we hope you have received our financials and the press release that was sent earlier. It's also available on our website. NATCO recorded consolidated total revenue of 513.3 crores for the third quarter ended 31st December 2022, as against 590.7 crores for the same period last year that had a one-time licensing fee revenue. Net profit for the period on a consolidated basis was 62.3 crores as against 80.4 crores same period last year. For the 9 months ending December 31st, 2022, the company actually recorded a total revenue of 1884.8 crores as against 1433.2 crores same period last year, so reflecting almost 31.5% growth. And on the net profit side, the company recorded 439.5 crores as against 220.5 crores, reflecting almost 100% improvement in PAT. On the segmental revenue split, this has already been shared with you. We'll pause here and we'll take questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Participants who wish to ask a question may kindly press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Tarang Agarwal from Old Bridge Capital. Kindly proceed.
Hi, good morning. A couple of questions from me. One on the employee cost. I believe there's a 29 crore one-time VRS. Is this one-time? And if so, X the VRS, the employee cost ends up being 77 crores for the quarter, which is materially lower than the previous quarters.
I have to check that number, Karan. Give me a moment, yeah? Let me just check and come back.
Okay. I'll just take my second question and then. How should we look at accretion in the agrochemical business from here on?
I think, let me answer the VRS question. I think that is for the year that charge has happened. In this particular quarter, it doesn't reflect that 27 crore charge, from what I understand. And so the consistent salary is what's been shown in this quarter. Okay.
Yes. Okay.
And the second question is, how is the agro division? Agro division is doing very well. Even though it's off season, we couldn't launch because the court clearance took us till October. So I think we had a good reasonable start. I think we had about little less than 10 crores of revenue in that division. I think we feel that it should do very well. I think this quarter, in the January to March quarter, and of course the coming Kharif, we'll do extremely well. And our thinking is that we should do about 150 to 200 crores in this division, which is, as so far, has not contributed any revenue. So this will happen this year in the next 12 months, and I think we're very confident. And I think everything looks good.
So, Rajiv, I mean, in terms of your conversations with your B2B customers and your the way you must have formed up your channel, I mean, all of that is in place, correct?
I think the B2B customers are all lined up, and I think B2B customers will make up probably 25 to 30% of sale. I think 65 to 70% of sale will be our direct label, our own label. And the real value is in your own label, Karan, not selling to B2B customers. And I think we're seeing good traction. We have launched all the combinations, and some of the combinations we are the only product other than the innovator. So I think we're in very good space, and I'm very excited. I think this quarter you will see some uptake because of the UP sugar season, I think, and then of course the Kharif in the next quarter. So as you know, in agro, I think a lot of the sale happens in the Kharif season. So a lot of the sale will get reflected in this quarter and the next quarter, I think. It will be lumpy in Q4 and Q1 of next year. So I think that's where things are going.
Thank you. Thanks. All the best, sir.
Thank you. Next caller.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. The next question is from the line of Chetan Doshi from Tulsi Capital. Kindly proceed.
If you see last 5 years of revenue from pharma, there is no big growth coming in except for one-time sale in the current year first quarter. And secondly, our margins are getting suppressed year on year if you see. Now, this development of pesticide is definitely a good idea, but that is how the company is looking for making up the losses, or they are planning to have some new development going on in pharma also where high margin business they are expecting.
Okay, so to answer your question, see, if you look at our earnings 5 years ago, a lot of it used to come from one or two products. It used to come from Tamiflu, and a little bit from Glatiramer, and used to come from Pure and Doxorubicin. Practically, all the earnings of those three products have declined dramatically, I think. Fenofibrate has completely vanished. Doxorubicin has come down by 85 to 90%. If you look at, let's say, our balance sheet about 4 or 5 years ago, almost 40 to 50% used to come from these, big one-time products. So we actually had to redo the models completely. So essentially what we did is we have built subs in Brazil. We have a sub in Canada. We have built our ROW business. We started the agro business. So essentially, if you look at that business, we have actually build back the same business that we had about 5 years ago with a more steady state revenue. And on top of that, we have Revlimid. So I think it's a very dramatic transformation. I think in terms of what we have done in terms of building a more sustainable, wider business. So when you build a sustainable, wider business with multiple geographies which don't have the extra supernormal profits, obviously the margins are going to be low, and there's no way around it. And if you look at this particular quarter, for example, Revlimid is very little Revlimid, but still it's a very steady state revenue that we have. And the revenues are equal to what we had, let's say, made about 3-4 years ago when we had all the one times. This is without any one times. So, but you need to understand something, okay? I say this all the time, but I'll repeat it one more time. The growth in this business doesn't happen from base. The growth in this business happens from your super extraordinary pharma. I challenge you on this, on any pharma company that you look at any company's balance sheet. your base business gives you that minimum margin which pays the bills and you get normal profit. If you want to get growth, you want to get something special, you need to have something interesting. And that interesting product is what delivers that bump in the earnings. Without that, you'll never have steady growth in earnings or extra profits. That's the nature of the business because of the competition that is there in this business. Because what has happened is, if you look at a product where there are multiple competitors, there's not too much margin to be made in a lot of our key markets, especially the US, or even our export business. That's the structure of the business, and in a way, I think Street has to get used to it. And it is more so pronounced in our balance sheet compared to other people, but more or less, that's the structure of the business. And this is it's across the sector, in my personal opinion. Okay?
So in pharma sector, you are not looking for any big growth coming in next 2 to 3 years?
I'm not saying there's no growth. I think you didn't understand what I'm trying to say. I think what I'm trying to say, you will get growth from your base business and you will get growth from the filings for which you have, where you have a niche complex filing where you have an upside. And these will drive the earnings, is what I'm saying. If you want earnings growth, it will come from that. Not necessarily, base business cannot contribute for all the growth. It will come from the niche limited competition filing.
So we are planning to get into some specific areas where we can look for good volumes and margins both. So some development is going on that subject.
No, what I'm trying to tell you is, I'm telling you the exact opposite. What I'm saying is that you will get business through diversification and multiple countries that will contribute to some percentage of your growth. But the real growth will come from when you do the niche and the small, high value, small volume products. That's where the real value will come from. For example, we have a lot of Para 4 filings, and I think we are publishing, so we are trying to do some couple of FTFs over and above what we already have. And if we deliver like another 3-4 FTFs, then this whole decade is set. I think our whole concentration is doing more niche hard to do generics where we see a lot of value while we build our base business by expanding our geography.
And one last question.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for giving the opportunity. See, in this pesticide business, you have written in the presentation is biopesticide. You mean to say that is biodegradable product?
No, I think that is specifically referring to a particular product. So we have a product called Fur Pink Bollworm, which is a pheromone. So pheromone is, it interferes with the mating of, it's a naturally occurring product which interferes with the mating of the insects. Because it interferes with the mating of the insects, it reduces the eggs that are laid on the plant. So therefore, there will be less infestation on the plant. So specifically referring to that particular product. So the core product which is driving the earnings, which is chlorantraniliprole, is not a biopesticide. It is a regular pesticide. I think the flavor of the presentation was trying to tell you that in addition to this, we're also working on products which are bio in nature.
And central insecticide board actually categorizes the pheromone under the biopesticide. So that's why I put it in there.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Can you proceed?
Hi, thanks. Rajeev, now on Revlimid, how should we expect the next couple of quarters? We should start seeing our profit share booking from Q4 through Q1 like we happened last time?
Yes, absolutely correct, Nitin. So I think Q4 and Q1 is our expectation, and most of the profit share will be booked. We already shifted quantity for our Q1, so I think... So we'll have a very good Q1 and Q4, and we'll have a very good year. So our expectations are this year, I think we should, overall as a company, I think we should do about 2,700 to 2,800 % top line. And this
year PAT also should be, I think, closer to 700 crores this year. I think that's our expectation. It'll probably be our highest revenue and highest PAT in the history of the company. I think, and I think a lot of it will be helped by development that we're going to get in this particular quarter.
Is it 1,000 to 700 crores of profit and about, is this for 24 you meant, right?
23 March.
Yeah. Okay. And lastly, on the agrochem business, beyond CTPR, how should we think about this business, you know, in terms of launches and all incrementally going forward?
I think, Nitin, CTPR is going to be the base of the business. I think CTPR will set up the business, and it will be the anchor that will allow us to build a larger portfolio. CTPR, its combination itself, I think, a lot of scope in the next 2 years to build up the business. We have other products in pipeline, and we will launch them over the next period of next few years. And some of them involve patent litigation as well. So I think to give you a timeline on what products and all, I think we'll disclose that over a period of time. But I think we are very excited about this possibility, and I think it has a lot of value.
And do you have a sense of on where the size of the business could be in the next 3 to 5 years, overall African piece for you?
I think next 12 months, I think what our expectation is that this business should do about 150 to 200 crores. Over a period of time, I believe that this business can grow to about 400 to 500 crores, with mostly branded India business driving it, and eventually the export also picking up. So I think that's our expectation of this business in the next few years. But I think to start with, I think this is a number that we're working with.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants are requested to restrict your questions to 2 per participant. The next question is from the line of Venkat from 3 Sigma Financial. Kindly proceed.
Thanks for the opportunity. Mr. Rajeev, you know, we have been seeing that, you know, competitors are able to perform better in the domestic market from the growth point of view. While we are seeing challenges in growth, is the problem with pricing or the sales, you know? So what is actually limiting our growth compared to our competitors, and more so in oncology and other divisions where we historically had a great leadership position, actually?
Domestic, I think it's always been a challenge for us because we have always done a limited segment. I think we've always done a niche segment. I think that's still a challenge. Because we did a niche segment, I think our growth has been limited. I think now we've expanded the portfolio. Now we are covering GPs, we're doing cardio, we're doing diabeto, which we've not done in the past. So I think we launched this division and we have expanded our field force. The benefit of that we'll see in the next few years. Onco has seen a lot of competition. I think once you are more spread out in multiple divisions, then the impact of a particular segment and pricing of a particular segment will not impact the balance sheet as much. And we're also looking for an acquisition vector. I think it will take some time. I think we're working on different acquisitions, which allows us better reach and a more deeper portfolio. We have cash in the books. I mean, you know, we have almost 1,030 crores of cash in the books. And we have very little debt except for working capital debt. We don't have any debt at all. So, I mean, and we're getting more cash coming forward the next year. So, I think we'll find something to plug the gap. And I think it is going to be a combination of expanding field force and an acquisition which will drive growth in that system. Okay?
Yes. So, you know, the other question I wanted to have is, I'm sure you must be doing a competitive analysis on the sales effectiveness. So, I'm hoping that, you know, periodic reviews and the right tooling is being provided for the sales representatives, you know, in the absence of that, the effectiveness may not be really so much actually, because, you know, for a comparable size company also, they are seeing better returns or better sales, you know, from other companies. I just wanted to make a comment, you know, not expecting any response from you, but this is an observation that I have made, actually.
Well, I think, I see what you're saying. I think we could have done much better. I think I generally don't run away from the question, so I'll answer it directly. You know, it is what it is. I think we could have done much better. And I think But Venkat, you need to structurally also understand, we do domestic. It's not that we don't do domestic, but our strength is the regulated market. If you look at our facilities and all, we specialize in doing patent litigation abroad. We specialize in doing hard-to-do generics. When you do a hard-to-do generic, typically these are all niche, peptide products where the value of proposition is not so big in India. It is big outside India. And if you look at our balance sheet, most of our revenue comes out of US, and regulated market. So it's a challenge, when you do well in that, then sometimes, you miss this. I think in hindsight, I wish we could have done more things in India. But I think we're fixing it. The way I look at this business is, I think we need to build a more diversified business. I think part of that challenge is, if you want to build this organically, it takes time. It doesn't happen over a period of time. I mean, for example, the agro initiative, we've taken it about 3 years. Now we're seeing light at the end of the tunnel. We believe that business is going to increase by 150 to 200 crores. I think we're trying, organically to build these businesses. But again, I like to build businesses with high, value and, and high margin and bring something special to the table compared to, as a company, culturally, I think we've never done well selling a commodity. We always do well selling something niche or something first in the country type of portfolio. It's a different DNA. I mean, I don't want you to compare us. We're not apples comparison with our competitors. But I think, for example, we have done extremely well in the regulated market, and we are able to deliver these niche filings all the time. So I think you have to look at the success at a larger context.
Thank you. But one question is, most of the US has become very competitive market, and when I look at my landscape, the people are focusing on domestic market, and that's why things were centered around domestic.
Venkat sir, we are not able to hear you clearly.
I understood the question, but I'll tell you, I'm exactly doing the opposite of what the industry is doing. So if you're making money in US, then nobody is making money in the US. And the people are making money in India, we're not making as much money as in India. So I think even in the US, I think the thought has been flawed too many times. I think there is ways of making money in the US, but you need to have a very clear strategy on how to make money. And you cannot make money by doing a commodity. I'll tell you, for example, just for the sake of explanation for all the benefit of the college today. You could never make money on atorvastatin in the US because there will be so many competitors on that generic, and they will never make money as a supplier of atorvastatin in the US. But if you have a brand of atorvastatin in the US, in India, you'll actually make a lot of money because you have a reasonably well-priced product. So what works in India, what works in the US are completely different. So to succeed in the US, you cannot be trying to sell atorvastatin. What model you have in India, you can't replicate that model in the US. You have to do something niche, something which has a difficult patent challenge, first mover advantage, or difficult chemistry. That's where you make money, which is what we are good at. So to say that US is a bad market and all, US is bad. I mean, that matter, even India market is also bad in a lot of the segments. You have to find that sweet spot, and I think that's where the value is. And I think that's what you need to judge a company on, rather than trying to, any business is bad if you look at it at a very macro level, but there are always sweet spots that you need to find. That's where the smartness is, isn't it? Okay?
Thank you, sir. Okay,
huge thank you for that.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Can you proceed?
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Good morning to all. Sir, the three questions. First one, in US, you mentioned business is profitable, no doubt. You are into niches, no doubt. I mean, post Copaxone and Revlimid, we haven't heard, the next level of products that your R&D team has been delivering in the past. So how is the next 5 years looking in terms of, product approval, development work going on, filing expected? If you could just give some color there.
I mean, we have other Para 4 filings. I think we publicly disclosed them. And I think some of them, like Carcinogenic, we have first to file. I'm sorry?
I was just saying, as exciting as the two you have delivered in the past.
Oh, yeah, fair enough. Okay. What a jackpot. I think we have done other filings, Prakash. Again, I'm not at liberty to disclose at this time what other filings we have. I think we have done a few other filings in this financial year.
hopefully we're FDF on this. I think once we get a confirmation on that, we'll speak about it. I think we have as exciting products as development coming up in the next by end of this decade. And in due course, we'll reveal this pipeline. And I think I'm very bullish about this business. And there are enough niches that you can exploit. And you need to get like 2 or 3 of these ideas right to take care of your earnings till the end of the decade. So I'm very confident. And Prakash, in my personal view, I think we will disclose in due course. And I think very confident that we'll be able to deliver.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you. And secondly, on India business, you mentioned that we are also looking at M&A. But I mean, 2022, if you look at calendar year, that was the most busiest year in terms of M&A, be it derma acquisitions, licensing of cardiovascular, products like sacubitril. Did you see these assets? Were you considering them, or you are looking at separately different kind of acquisitions? Some color will help.
We have looked at different assets, Prakash. I think a general comment is that the valuations of domestic assets have gone up dramatically because of the nature of the atmosphere at this time, right? I mean, in terms of the general excitement in that assets. But there are a lot of assets coming, Prakash, and I'm hopeful that we'll be able to consummate some deal in 2023. I know we missed an asset in 22. We could only do one acquisition, which was a front end in the US. It was the only acquisition we could close. But otherwise, we couldn't. We tried very hard. I think we looked at different assets. Unfortunately, we couldn't close. But there is enough traction in the business. I think we believe that we'll be able to close something. There's a lot of assets that are there, and people are redoing their portfolio. So there are a lot of opportunities. So I think we'll be able to hopefully strike something in 23.
Okay, but with a similar focus of higher margin and low field force, will that the focus continue?
I think that's the idea, Prakash. I think that's what we're trying to do. And again, also a fair return on capital, Prakash, which is the most important thing, right? So again, you don't want to bid something so high that you don't make any money at all. So I think you need to have, just because everybody is doing it, I don't want to do a bad deal, right? I mean, nobody wants to do a bad deal. Doing no deal is better than doing a bad deal, right? So yeah, I think we'll find something. I'm confident. You have to be patient. You have to wait. Yeah. Sometimes, see, I am not under pressure in that sense, right? Because we have steady earnings coming going forward because of the steady cash flow on the portfolio that we have. And we have enough cash on the books. It's not for lack of money, right? So it's just the right opportunity. Just wait and you'll get the right one. Yeah. We'll do the same.
No, totally understand that, but it's just that the India business, both on onco and the FC is declining quite a bit now, stabilized, but still, I mean, growth is clearly missing in a domestic portfolio.
I think it can be fixed. I'm not worried about it, but we'll fix it. I think we have the resources to fix it, we have the cash to fix it, we have the strategy to fix it. So, you just have to be patient, my friend. That's all I can say. That's the only answer I can give. We will do the right deal at the right price so that, and bring the right value for our shareholders. And sometimes you should not just get caught up in the frenzy, right? And then you do a bad deal, then, it affects everyone, right? So I think you just have to do it at the right time. I think just be patient. That's all I can say. But I'm working on it clearly. I think it's a very strategic aspect. And I think, as the gentleman said, I think we are trying to redo the business in a way that our dependence on the U.S. also reduces. Right now, our business is pivoted very heavily towards U.S. And I think as we become a bigger company, I think it's important that we diversify away from U.S. I mean, the agro initiative is part of that. And also the acquisition of domestic assets is also part of that. So as of now, if you look at the balance sheet, we'll probably do 400 crores of domestic out of 2,700 crores of the top line. So domestic is like 15 or whatever the number is, 15 to 16% of the top line. So like coming forward next year, hopefully we'll be able to bring that up to, because of the agro revenue, we can bring that up to 20-25%. In the long run, I think we're objectively thinking that we should make this business about 30-35%, which is more or less consistent with our larger peers. But that transformation, Prakash, will take time. It can't happen overnight because we are pivoted towards the US and doing niches. To transform yourself to something else, it takes a 5 to 7 year cycle. You can't change your earnings tomorrow because you want to, right? It takes a process.
rehabilitation process. Yeah?
Okay. And just last quick one on Revlimid. It would be fair to understand with, you know, market share increasing, the delta of your revenues will increase, or it would get offset by the incremental competition, little bit price declines, etc. For next year?
I don't want to speak about it, Prakash, because I don't really know. We will know in the Q4 and Q1. I think I'll probably give you more ideas in the coming quarter when we do the Q4 earnings. And as of now, I don't want to guess anything, but I think it should do well. I think our expectation is that it should do well. I think we'll speak more about it during the next quarter. Yeah.
And this agro 150 odd crores is for 24 or 25? I mean, revenue expectation?
I'm saying the next 12 months. So, a lot of the sale of agro, again, this is another very lumpy business. It happens in Q4 and Q1.
Okay.
And a little bit in Q2. So, most of the sales will happen between Q4 and Q1. I think Q1 will be the biggest quarter for that business.
Okay. So, this calendar year, basically.
Yeah. So, when I'm saying 12 months, I assume the problem is 12 months would include one quarter from the previous year and one quarter from the next year, right? And then you have two kind of easy quarters, right? Because of the way the business works. Yeah, and you don't have any export business to bring consistency in revenue, so it's primarily driven by India right now. So the lumpiness will continue, Prakash. Our Q4 and Q1 will always be strong for two reasons. One, because of Revlimid and because of agro. And then the other two quarters will be a little slower because those two are missing. So that's how the balance sheet is going to be, and the way I see it, it's going to be like this for the next few years.
Okay, lovely. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you, Prakash. Thanks. Next week.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil from SIMPL. Kindly proceed.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. Am I audible?
Yes, Nikhil. Please go ahead. Yeah,
hi, Rajiv. I have three questions. One is, continuation to the previous participant question, when you said that our FY23 guidance is 2700 to 3000 crores on top line and 700 crores on PAT, and if I just adjust for last year, that inventory write-off and all, what are you building in terms of pricing for March 23 when you say 700 crores? So, is it like a significant price erosion or is it like a smaller volume offtake in March quarter and a larger offtake in Q1?
I think that's my expectation, Nitin. That's our expectation. I don't know, let the quarter end, I think. But, you know, this is what, I mean, I'm just making an estimate based on how the earnings are going to be, but that's our expectation. Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And secondly, one of the competitors on the agrochem side had mentioned that the patents for the product are valid till 27. So, this should remain a limited competition market. And we had also mentioned in previous calls that we are open to do B2B business. And what we see is that there are a lot of people who have submitted their files for to the government for approval.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So, how should we understand? So, should it remain a 2-3 player market, or would we be open to more licensing and allow competition? Because in a way, if we allow competition by B2B, we are killing our own margins in this product. So,
it's not like that. Actually, business is not like that. Domestic market doesn't work like that. I think, okay, let me answer your question. There are patents which are there till 2025. Okay, and I think we litigated and we won. Okay, that's the first thing. And there are very few people who have litigated and won. And you're right that there are only about 2-3 suppliers in the market right now. Right? Therefore, in that sense, it's a limited supplier market. So, that is where the value is coming from. Typically, what happens is these 2-3 competitors, including us, will have our own brand, which we sell, and we get a certain amount of market share. And 30% of the market, which cannot be serviced by you, give it on P2B basis. But P2B value also remains with you because you are selling the technical or the formulation to that person. So it doesn't destroy value because some people are strong in certain markets, some people are not strong in certain markets. So it is a fairly well-set model. I think everybody does that. I think you do a little bit yourself and you give some to third party. That's the structure of business. It happens in domestic also, where, you know,
even domestic formulation in pharma, the same thing happens. There'll be some companies are very strong regionally. There's some companies which are strong in certain geographies or certain segments of doctors. So it doesn't destroy value as long as a limited number of suppliers. And the number of suppliers are limited because of the patent thing. So I don't agree with the characterization that it'll hurt you completely. It does hurt you a little bit, but on a net-net basis, you always gain because of the superior access you got.
So net-net on a ROC basis, if you look at the whole product as a profile of B2B and own product basis, would you say that the ROC profile of this business will remain in a 25-30% range, or would it be similar to a domestic market kind of ROC profile? Because it's a portfolio approach we have taken, right? So in a way, we are defining the right.
It will be fairly profitable. How much money you will make? I'm expecting about 20-25% margin. I think that's what I'm expecting. But net margin after expenses, after everything. On a gross scale of 100 rupees, we're expecting about 25-30 rupees. But see, let's see how it looks. So far, looks good. We have some high-cost inventory that we need here. But I think when it settles down, yes, I think that sort of margin is very reasonable. Yeah, I think so.
Okay, last question on the subsidiaries. Now, for last 4 quarters, the subsidiaries are at a run rate of 80 crores sequentially. And this is, to some extent, supported by Revlimid tenders in Canada. Do you see that this run rate can be impacted when the new tenders will come in? Or when does the new tender in Canada come in? Or any idea if you can...
Come early, and some tenders are for 2 years around. So it depends on... I don't know exactly which tender is when, but it will hold up. See, if you look at our earnings also, there's a netting off effect that is there. But actual subsidiary revenue is 169 crores this quarter. So, and look at our PAT as well. Maybe 40% of PAT is coming from the subsidiary. So,
yeah.
And it kind of shows what we're trying to do is to diversify our revenue and diversify our geography. So, to answer your question, it's a fairly steady state revenue, and I think it will hold up for a little bit, but not for long. But again, you need to come up with some other product which can offset the loss that you have. But subsidiaries itself are contributing a significant part of our sales. Yeah.
Sure. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Arun Malhotra from Tap Grow Capital. Can you proceed?
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Wanted to ask a couple of things. We have mentioned that Para 4 11 products have been approved. What is the size of this opportunity for these 11 and for the 19 products which are still in litigation?
19 products are there in litigation, 11 products are approved. I don't know.
So what we said in the presentation, like when 19 Para 4s are in the pipeline, like this is as of March 31st, 2022, right? So we usually consolidate and update once in a year, not necessarily quarterly. The market size varies depending on the product. There are some which is $1 billion opportunities, some are in the...
Just because you do a Para 4 doesn't mean it has value, my friend. Because sometimes there are joint filers. So let's say there are 8 filers and everybody is doing a Para 4, then really it doesn't really have much value. I think Para 4 is just an indication that you're selling your patent. But doesn't necessarily mean that you'll make a... Just because you're doing a Para 4 doesn't mean that you'll make money on that particular product. Because if there are a lot of competitors, it doesn't really matter, right? So what you need to do is judge the filing by the product. I mean, the product has limited competition, then it has value. So I think that's how you have to look at it.
And 11 approved, what does that indicate? Any opportunity size where we could have some color?
I think we have, the presentation has the products where we are sole FTF and shared FTF.
Yes.
I think we can, it's there in the presentation. I think, for example, just to give a flavor, given it. I can't recollect all of them on top of my head, but for example, Carfilzomib, on one strength we are shared FTF, but on one strength we are the sole FTF. On Bosentan suspension, we are the sole FTF. Every product has its own sort of, dynamics. So we, this is not the right time to go over, by product, but broadly, I think that's how it works.
Just want to add one point here, just to clarify your question. we have roughly around like 26 commercial products in the US, right? Of that, what we are suggesting in the presentation is about 11 of them are approved. So that means some of them are launched, and Para 4s are generally a higher value because limited competition and possibly first to file. So that's what we're trying to indicate. You know, the
I think we'll give more clarity in the presentation next time where we leave the limited competition which I shared. I think that will give better color to the pipeline.
That would be helpful for us in estimating the future revenue.
I think we'll clarify that in the presentation. I think Rajesh, I think we'll address that in the presentation. Yeah, thanks. Next question.
Sure. And second is, can you throw some light on current Revlimid pricing scenario in the US?
I don't want to talk about it at this time. I think we will speak about it, I think, in the coming quarter. And we will have a better idea on what things are. Generally, you don't give up your commercial strategy. You don't speak about
it. Our strategy, I'm saying how the prices in the industry are, how the prices are.
I can't answer that question, my friend. I'm sorry, I can't answer.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul from Investor. Can we proceed? Excuse me, Rahul.
Yeah, I'm online. Are you able to hear me?
Yes, we are. Can we proceed?
My question is, what about the management of the overall profitability, because we are losing something in this quarter. So are we going to make up it completely in the Q4, or still there will be some pretty downfall in the profit?
I think I've answered this question earlier, so I think I'll repeat that question. I think the way our nature of our business is, like Q4 and Q1 will be lumpy, and Q2 and Q3 will be on the lower side. If you look at the earnings at on an annual basis, and that's how we have looked at it, and it's going to be like this going forward as well, because agro is also going to significantly contribute to the base business, and a lot of the sale comes from kharif and little bit in rabi. So that's the nature of the business. And I think if you look at the 9 months earnings, I think the press release can address that. Our 9 months earnings, we did about 1,884 crores of revenue, and we have a profit of 442 crores. So I think we've given a guidance that, you know, going forward, we'll do about 2,700 based on how development goes, and in a pack which is probably closer to 700, a little less than 700 in that case. So,
I have only one doubt there. I understand your business because I have been investing from last 24 months in your office company. So my thing is, are we going to pull the losses of other quarters into this so that this is going to be substantial?
I didn't understand your question, my friend. I'm not able to understand.
The quarter of Q4, I understand it will be pretty slow. But at the same time, the value of that particular quarter should not get dosed up because of the previous two quarters, right?
I don't understand your question.
For example, my Q2 didn't do well, my Q3 didn't do well, means there will be a lot of pressure on Q4, right? So it should not depreciate my Q4. Are there any kind of plans for that? That's what I'm asking.
I think Q4, I think the guidance addresses that question. No, I think our expectation is that it will do well, and I think that's our expectation.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
The next question is from the line of Yoganj Jaswani from Mittal Analytics. Can we proceed?
Hi sir, thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so a lot of participants have asked you on CTPR. So just a few more follow-ups on it. So in CTPR, if you see, the other companies have also come in, and they have also come in with 20-25% discount to the pricing. And I think Best Agro is one which is very upbeat about their CTPR launch. So given the market already has 2-3 players and the innovators, so how are we looking at this market in terms of, you know, the 150 crore guidance that you gave? How competitive it is going to get in next 12-16 months? and how are we differentiating ourselves, or how are we presenting? Because out of the other competitors, we are the only company who is not an AgChem company.
See, I tell you, if you were to start a business and somebody comes and tells you that you have an opportunity to launch a product where the market size is almost 3,000 crores and there'll be only two or three suppliers, would you like to start a business in that manner, or would you like to start a business where you have 30 competitors and you're competing with for the same size? I think this is probably the best possible position that you could start from. I know we are not an established player, but we have a reasonable network we have built over the last 2 years. We did a lot of hard work building infrastructure, building the sales force and the manufacturing capability. And we have a very good quality product. And we're getting good traction. And I think I'm giving this guidance after, you know, going into the market. And I think we should do well. And this is probably the best possible scenario that you could enter the market. And then you're asking me a chicken and egg question. No? So if you say that you are not a player in this business, then you can never enter that business then, right? So I think this is probably the best scenario that you could enter. I think that's the way I can put it. And this sort of limited competition doesn't happen all the time. And I think we're setting ourselves up for that. And I think that's what we specialize on. When we enter a market, we don't try to be the we're always like the only show in town, or you have the only one or two shows in town, so that your chances of your success are much higher compared to a situation where you are dealing with 40 or 50 competitors. This is probably the best chance for us to do well because of the limited number of competition. And I think the market is big enough also. No, see, 3,000 crores, I'm actually saying not even 10% market share. We're not asking for beyond that, isn't it? We're not going and saying that we want more than that. So it's a very conservative estimate, and I don't think it will be hard to make.
I think I came across a little wrong in that sense. So no, I'm not saying that this is a bad way to enter the market. In fact, this is a very good way to enter the market, and CTPR has been a very good launch. What I meant to ask was, we out of the players which are there in CTPR, we are the only players who is not an AgChem company. So if you could just, you know, share your thoughts here, your way of how you have entered the market, you know, what kind of regions you have tapped in, the 150 crore guidance that you gave, out of that, how much will be the B2B part and how much will be the B2C part that you will do? And how much of that will still change between B2B to B2C? That's what I wanted to understand.
Yeah, for sure. I've already answered the question. Kind of missed it. I think 65 to 70% we're expecting from B2C and about 25 to 30% we're expecting from B2B. Yeah. So it's quite a bit.
Got it. And in terms of differentiating, is it solely based on price, or is it also based on the combinations that we can offer in CTPR?
It's a combination. See, again, you mentioned other competitors. I think the other competitors have not launched all the combinations. I've launched all the combinations. They have launched only one or two of the combinations. They have not launched all the combinations. So that way, there's a differentiation between us and them, right? So it doesn't mean just because another competitor has come, doesn't mean that you'll offer the whole portfolio, that you'll be able to supply that particular market on time. Doesn't mean that, you know, he has a full basket. We could be focusing on someone else. And always traders play one against the other, right? So I think there's enough market for everyone. I think the market is good enough for everyone. I think it's large enough for everyone. And I think you can make your mark.
Understood. That's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Can you proceed?
Thanks, Rajiv. Rajiv, on I think you answered this question partially before, but how should we look at the subsidiaries, incrementally now going forward? Are the subsidiary businesses again largely dependent on how revenue scales up in these businesses, or are there more products which can meaningfully scale these businesses?
I think there are a lot of launches in both the subs. I think Brazil has about 5-6 launches in the next 12 months. Canada also has some very good launches coming up in the next few months. We are trying to diversify the portfolio, and we have a lot of filings, and we're doing litigation in these markets. So I think the idea is to build a more diversified model. I'm not concerned about a drop in price on one of the products affecting the profitability, because we have a fairly diversified portfolio. Yeah.
And secondly, on the newer filings on the US that you've done, by when do you think you would get clarity from the FDA in terms of your first of all status on some of these products?
In the next few months. Hopefully in the next few months. Next 2-3 months.
And how many in numbers of products that you are banking on could be meaningful for you? Or that you've done?
I think I have 2 products, 2 to 3 products. We will know whether we are left here shortly. With all 3 are filed, listen, one thing, I have filed all 3, but we just don't know what the FDA status is. So we will know shortly.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, kindly press star 1. The next question is from the line of Mr. Chaudhary, a farmer. Kindly proceed.
Hello, Rajiv.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes, please go ahead.
I am a farmer and as well as an investor. First question is about CTPR. I understood from the market that you are only offering small packs up to 150 ml, whereas I am from Bellary area. The farmers do buy a lot of large packs, 600 ml of Coragen. Okay. That's one thing. And second, I want to understand. Hello?
Which territory are you from? I'm sorry, which state?
Hello?
Which state are you from? I'm saying, which state?
Bellary, Karnataka.
Karnataka, okay.
I was inquiring with your people in Anandapur. They told me that they're essentially giving out, I mean, the largest packs are about 150 ml. Okay? Whereas the demand is quite strong for 600 ml packets in packs in cotton belt, which I think would be your primary consumer. Okay?
Just one moment. I'll get Rajesh to answer that question.
Sorry. So, till today, we have launched the 10 ml, 30 ml, 60 and 150. We are also offering the 300 and 600. It's just on its way.
Okay. I also heard that you people don't have a network in Karnataka as of now. Is your network limited to only Andhra and Telangana as of now?
No. I think the last quarter has been focused on building the team. So we do have some people who have started very recently. We are expanding. So the goal is in the next 1-2 months, we'll have the full team in place in Karnataka.
Okay, you plan to cover the entire cotton belt, Maharashtra and Madhya Pradesh and South?
So we are covering everything. So we are covering all the states. Karnataka especially, our team is just getting on board.
Okay, with regard to the other part, B2B, I noticed that, you know, the one big player like UPL has grown mainly in B2B business because of their technical competency. Okay, and Macro is a new entrant in agribusiness, and that has a tremendous amount of technical competencies. Couldn't you think in terms of expanding your business by building a large B2B portfolio, and also utilize that to service your area of chosen area within India?
Yes, sir. I think the idea is that only. I think the idea is that about 60-65% we want to do on our own P2 direct customer. About 30-35% we're targeting on B2B as well. We have lined up quite a few customers. I think about 5-6 customers we already lined up. So we will get sales from both. I think the guidance that we gave of 150 crores in this business is based on the assumption that these customers are already onboarded. So I think we're fairly confident because we already have onboarded these customers.
Yeah, but that is limited to only CTPR. I was talking about introducing other products which are complex, where the APIs are probably imported or, you know,
We are working. This is just the start. This is the first product we have launched. This is the first real product we have launched. And it has made a lot of bank. But we have a pipeline going forward to the next 5-6 years. We have a steady pipeline every year. But this is the most important product in the pipeline. I think that's why this is just getting more attention. But yes, we have a steady pipeline and we're hoping to build a large business, not only directly to customers, but also to third parties. We are very cognizantly working on that. Absolutely correct.
Could you give some color on your Brazil subsidiary's performance?
Brazil subsidiary, you said?
Okay, just one moment.
Give me one moment. Okay. Brazil subsidiary last quarter did 38 crores of revenue.
Okay, that's great.
Okay, right. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of N.K. Arora, an individual investor. Can we proceed?
Good morning, Rajiv.
Yeah, Mr. Arora, tell me, please go
ahead. All the companies which have launched generic Revlimid in USA, they have volume restrictions. So does that mean there is no incentive for price erosion by anybody to anyone?
I think, you know, Teva markets the product, Mr. Arora. So there is erosion in the price. There's no question erosion. But I think the product should do well. I think there's enough money to be made on the product.
Okay. And secondly, sir, as we have discussed in the previous phone call, our volume share is in mid-single digits. From 7th March onwards, it will be in double digits. So we have a significant increase in profit next. Every year, as our volume rises?
I think so, sir. That's our expectation. That's correct. Yes, absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Next caller, please.
Thank you.
So this will be my last question, yeah? Okay, thank you.
Participants, if you have a question, kindly press star 1.
Is that all? Okay.
So the next question is from the line of Nikhil from FIMPL.
Yeah, Nikhil, go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Just one question. On the Revlimid case, if you can just educate us what is the thing and how do you think, so can it blow out in a large way or what's your understanding?
I think Teva is handling the case, my friend. So Teva is the ANDA holder. So they're handling the case. At this time, it will be very premature to say anything. There's nothing I can comment at this time. Yeah.
Okay. And you won't be able to comment that even if... So I'm just trying to understand that if it goes adverse, because the profit share is between three players, whatever the penal actions or whatever the payments have to be done, all the three will have to do, or how will it evolve?
At this time, I can't comment. I think we are confident about our position. At this time, I can't say anything beyond that. Thank you.
Sure, thanks.
Okay.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you all. Again, any questions related to what was discussed during today's call, please feel free to reach out to us. We'll be more than happy to address those. Thank you all and have a good day.
Thank you. On behalf of Nuvama Wealth, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.